We're at Lecture 16 for Christ's Crown and Covenant, the Scottish Presbyterians. Last time we looked at the English Puritans, and today we'll look at very close spiritual relatives of the English Puritans, the Scottish Presbyterians, particularly the history of Scottish Presbyterians in the 17th century. Scotland is famous for its use of psalms in worship. I was hiking on the Isle of Skye and Lewis and Harris last summer. I enjoyed attending the Free Church of Scotland services and singing the psalms. They sing the psalms in Gaelic as well as English. I'm going to read one of the psalms today in English as the basis for our prayer together. Psalm 103. Let's join together in prayer and pray along with me as I read these words. Let us pray. O my soul, bless God the Father. All within me, bless His name. Bless the Father, and forget not all His mercies to proclaim. As it was without beginning, so it lasts without an end. To their children's children ever shall His righteousness extend. Unto such as keep His covenant and are steadfast in His way. Unto those who still remember His commandments and obey. Bless the Father, all His creatures, ever under His control. All throughout His vast dominion, bless the Father, O my soul. Amen. I'd like to begin with a picture of one of the heroes of Scottish history. It's a little dog by the name of Bobby. It's actually called Greyfriars Bobby. And if you walk along the Royal Mile in Edinburgh, you'll come to the statue of this little Skye terrier. For 16 years, Bobby kept daily watch over the grave of his master, who was buried near the statue in Greyfriars churchyard. In that churchyard, that same churchyard, over 200 years before Bobby's time, something very important happened in Scottish Presbyterian church history, which we're going to be talking about a little later today. We've studied the Reformation in Scotland, but we really need to talk about two reformations in Scotland, the First Reformation and the Second. John Knox was the primary figure in the First Reformation, which was the reform of the church from Catholicism. And the theme of that Reformation was none but Christ saves. The Scottish Church, under Knox's leadership, recovered proper understanding of the gospel. None but Christ saves. But there was necessary in Scotland for the church to go through what is usually called the Second Reformation. That Reformation was not against Catholicism, but against Erastianism and prelacy. And the slogan that we could use to summarize the Second Reformation would be, none but Christ reigns. Reigns in His church. It was out of the Second Scottish Reformation that the word so often used in Scottish church history come, the words for Christ's crown and covenant. We'll talk about that in the next few minutes. I want to divide this period of Scottish church history into two parts. First of all, from the death of John Knox in 1572 to the restoration of the Stuarts in 1660, the period of the Second Reformation, and then the period from the Restoration in 1660 to the glorious Revolution of William and Mary in 1688, which is the period of the Covenanters. So we'll be talking about the Second Reformation, first of all, and then the Covenanters. To survey that almost 100 years from the death of Knox to the restoration of the Stuarts, I'd like to describe a few of the leaders of that period and a number of the main events that took place. The greatest Scottish Presbyterian leader after the time of John Knox was Andrew Melville. Melville completed what John Knox began. It is really under the leadership of Andrew Melville that Scottish Presbyterianism was perfected in the Second Book of Discipline of 1581. And it was also Andrew Melville who led the fight on the part of Scottish Presbyterians to have authority within their own church without the interference and control of an Erastian state, without the control of the king. For a long time, that was a very difficult struggle, as the king attempted to control and at times suppress the church, and the church fought to establish its freedom from the control of the state. It was a famous meeting between Andrew Melville and King James in 1596, in which the Presbyterian preacher called the king God's silly vassal to his face. The word silly probably did not have the same meaning that it has to us today. It meant something like God's feeble servant. But Andrew Melville wanted to make it very clear to King James that he was God's servant, and as God's servant, he was a member of the church like everyone else, but that he could not dictate to the church or control the church. As Melville had reminded James many times, he reminded him again that there are two kings and two kingdoms in Scotland: King James, the Lord of the Commonwealth, and Christ Jesus, who is King of his church. Well, the struggle